Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin, daf Yud Zayin. For those listening online, this is Elisha Greff covering for Rabbi Leibowitz, who is away in the Holy Land for the next week. So the rabbi left off at a great spot on Tez Zayin Amud Beis, and we're going to pick up from the two dots about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, about 14 lines up from the bottom, Tez Zayin Amud Beis. Today we are going to continue discussing what we had learned in the Mishnah about the various types of people and time periods that are kosher for Shechita. So we're going to wind up trying to figure out exactly what the Mishnah meant when it said Hakol Shochtin, Uli Olam Shochtin, that everybody could Shecht and people could Shecht Li Olam forever, whatever that means. So we'll see that in the Gemara. We're going to come across a Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether and when during history, at a certain point, basar taiva, meaning regular meat that a person would shecht and eat because the person was hungry, as opposed to the fact that the person wanted to bring a carbon, whether that type of meat was ever prohibited from being eaten, whether at a certain time in history it was permitted to eat meat without shechita, and whether something called nechira, which is when you just stab the animal and as opposed to shecht the animal, was mutter throughout the course of history. So we'll see that machlokas, interesting machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And then we are going to get into a discussion starting on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, turning over to Yud Zayin Amud Beis and taking us through the rest of the daf, various halachos of the knife. So we've been talking a lot about the shechita knife. We know that the rabbis mentioned in the past couple of days the concept or the obligation, really, of showing the shechita knife to a chacham to be bodek the shechita knife, and how it has to be a smooth blade. So we're going to see about various types of pegimos, what types of pegimos are still leave the knife as kosher, and what types of pegimos are bad enough to passel the knife. Okay, so let's pick up again. Tez Zayin Amud Beis, it's the two dots, 14 lines up from the bottom of the Yaman. Hakol Shochtin, Uli Olan Shochtin. So what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Hakol Shochtin, Hakol B'Shechita, that every animal has a mitzvah of Shechita, subject to the mitzvah of Shechita. V'afilu Of, even a bird. So it's not only a behemoth that you have to shecht, it's also a bird. Liolam Shochtin, and what does it mean that you have to shecht forever at every period in history? So Mantana, so Amar Rabba, Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabba says that this is the Shechita of Rabbi Yishmael. How so? D'Tanya, because we have a brisa that says as follows. Kiyarchav Hashem Elokecha es gevolcha kasher diber lach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will expand your boundaries as he told you. Va'amarta, and it says in Pasuk, Ochla basar. So at the time of Kiyarchav Hashem Elokecha es gevolcha, we're told that we'll be able to eat basar. So Rabbi Shmuel Omer, so what is Rabbi Shmuel, and how does Rabbi Shmuel interpret this pasuk? Lo ba'akosav ela lahatur lehem basar taiva. It comes to be matured to the Bnei Yisrael, basar taiva, and Rashi explains that means that when they get to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be mutter for them. If they're hungry, they could shecht an animal, and they could eat the animal wherever they are. There's no obligation to bring the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. There's no obligation to bring an animal as a korban. You're allowed to shecht an animal and eat it stam if you're hungry. That's what basar taiva is. Shebetchila nesar lem basar taiva, because initially when the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar and they had the Mishkan, it was usur for them to eat basar taiva. They weren't allowed to find an animal, like if there was a regular sheep, they could shecht the sheep or the cow and eat it. They were not allowed to do that. So mishenichnesu la'aretz, however, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, Huter lam basar taiva. Then basar taiva became mutter. That's the pasuk that we just said. Ki yarchav Hashem alokecha zgvulcha. When you enter into Eretz Yisrael, viachalta basar. Then you're allowed to eat basar taiva. Viachshav shegalu. Now that they were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, yachal yachzuru li yisurun arishon. I might think that we go back to the original state of Isser that existed in the time of the Midbar, and therefore, once again, Basar Taiva should become Asur. Lekach Sheninu, Li'olam Shochtin. That's what the Mishnah means when it says Li'olam Shochtin, that there's always a mitzvah of Shechita, meaning that since the time Basar Taiva became Mutter to the Bnei Yisrael, when they went into Eretz Yisrael initially, with the Kiva Sha'aretz, it's always obligatory to shecht if you ever want to eat meat. That there always is an obligation to shecht. Says the Gemara, well, maskef l'Rabbi Yosef, highly olam shochtin, in that case, if this were what the Mishnah was trying to teach me, it shouldn't have said liolam shochtin, that you always have to shecht, liolam shochtin v'ochlim mi baile. You should have told me liolam shochtin v'ochlim, that throughout every period of history, you shecht and you eat, because it turns out that the whole chiddush is that basar taiva remains mutter even after the Bnei Yisrael went into Golas. So the Mishnah's placing the emphasis on the wrong part of the halacha, if this is actually what the Mishnah is teaching me. The chiddush is not liolam shochtin, the chiddush is liolam shochtin v'ochlin. So v'od meikara maitai meitzer, also says the Gemara, it's not mistaber, that I would never have a havamina that once the Bnei Yisrael went into Golas, all of a sudden basar taiva should become usher to them. Why? Because meikara maitai meitzer mishum dehavi mikravi lemishkan. Why initially was basar taiva usher? Because they were close to the Mishkan. Says what? Says Rashi, so what? So therefore, if they were hungry, it was very simple. They could go to the Mishkan, they could bring a korban shlamim, and they could eat the basar of the korban shlamim. So there was no reason to be matar basar taiva to them, because they could always get their fix of meat by bringing a korban. But the point is, the reason that basar taiva was aser was because it was so convenient for them to bring korbanos. Ulu b'sof mai taima ishtari. And now, in the end, meaning when they went into Eretz Yisrael, why was basar taiva mutter? The havi mirchaki mimishkan, because they were far away from the Mishkan. Eretz Yisrael, the land was much bigger than the encampment in the Mishkan. People lived much further away from the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't so simple to bring korbanos if they ever wanted it, whenever they wanted to eat meat. Therefore, basar taiva became mutter. It says, turning over to Yazayin Amad Aleph, v'kol shkein hashta dirchaku li'tfei. So certainly now, again, the reason that basar taiva was mutter because they were so far from the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're even further from the Beis HaMikdash. There is no Beis HaMikdash. There is no ability to bring karbanas. So you can't say, oh, you want to eat meat, just go bring karbanas. I can't bring karbanas. So now you're going to tell me when I'm hamstrung, I have no other option. Now you're going to tell me that basar taiva is asur. Tosfa says that even according to the Man D'Amar, who says that kitcha rishona, kitcha l'shaita, and lo kitcha l'asid lavo, meaning that bamos were mutter. There's a big machlokas where bamos mutter, where bamos aser. So according to the Man D'Amar, says that bamos are mutter, what is the Gemara saying? What does the Gemara mean when it says that now we're further away? Adaraba, we're not further away because I could bring a karbon on any bama in my backyard. Tosfos leaves this as a question. It really doesn't make sense. According to the Man D'Amar, it says kitcha rishona, kitcha l'shaita, velo kitcha l'asid lavo. Okay. So says the Gemara. So where we are here is the Gemara doesn't like the limud that liolam shochta means that I'm able to eat basar taiva forever, because there is no real havamina that basar taiva should have become asur to the Jewish people again after they were exiled from Eretz Yisrael. So first line on top, say elama Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Akiva. Nah, the reason that the Mishnah says liolam shochten is because it's a shita of Rabbi Akiva. What shita Rabbi Akiva? The Tanya we have in a brisa. Ki yirchak mimcha amokam asher yivchar Hashem alakecha losam shmo sham. So there's a reference to Zvicha. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Loba Akosov, Ela Leser Lahem Basar Nechira. That the reason that the Pasuk says, you know, when you get to the Eretz Yisrael, you put up the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael, everything is great. And then Vizavachta Mibakarcha, Rabbi Kiva says that this Pasuk comes to Aser Basar Nechira, Basar, which is killed by just piercing the animal, by stabbing the animal. Shebetchilo Hutter Lam Basar Nechira, because at first Basar Nechira was mutter to them, because it's mashma that now when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were commanded on Zvicha. Before they went into Eretz Yisrael, they were not commanded on Zvicha. So before Basar Nechira was mutter to them, Mishenichnasu La'aretz, Neserlan Basar Nechira, that when they went into Eretz Yisrael, Basar Nechira became Aser, because the Pasuk says, Vizavachta, that if you want to eat meat, then you have to shecht it. V'yachshav shegalu, yachal yachzeru leteren arishon, l'chein sheninu liyolam shochten. Now that the Bnei Yisrael went into Golos, I might think that Basar Nechira once again became Mutter, because now we're no longer in the Parsha of when you have a Mishkan, when you have a Beis HaMikdash, Vizavachta. I might think that Basar Nechira is Mutter again. Kamash Malan, no, it's not Mutter and Liolam Shochtin. Meaning, since the Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, Basar Nechira is always asur. The only way to eat meat is if you shecht it. So says the Gemara now with the two dots. So what are they arguing about? So Rabbi Kiva says, Basar Taiva lo itzer klal. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that when they went into Eretz Yisrael, Basar Taiva became mutter, because Basar Taiva was never usur. In other words, even in the Midbar, it was mutter for the Bnei Yisrael to eat Basar Taiva. And Rabbi Shmuel Savar, and why does Rabbi Shmuel say that the Liolam Shochten has to do with Basar Taiva? Because he holds Basar Nechira Rishri klal, that Basar Nechira was never mutter at all. So I don't need a pasuk to teach me that now I have to shecht as opposed to before when I didn't have to shecht, when I was just able to stab. That's why they don't hold like each other. Tosfa says, I don't know why you're necessarily saying that the two shitas are mutually exclusive. The second Tosfos on the page says, Tema minole ha dilma mara machado velo pligi. One guy could say that Basar Taiva was Asr. The other man, the Amar, could say Basar Nechira was Mutter in the time of the Midbar. Why do they necessarily have to argue with each other? Tosfos explains, V'yesh lomar ilu Rabbi Kiva mitzar Basar Taiva, because if according to Rabbi Kiva, Basar Taiva was Asr, imkein eich otro lem Basar Nechira. How could it be that Basar Nechira would have been Mutter to them? Why? Debekachim moda debay shchita. Because if he held also that Basar Taiva was Asr, then the only time you would be having meat is when you're bringing a karban. But when you're bringing a karban, I know that I have to shecht. So Basar Nechira never would have been mutter, because the only meat I'm eating is a karban, and I can't do Nechira and a karban. Says Tosfos, that's why we know that the two shitos have to be mutually exclusive. Okay, so now back in the Gemara. We're going to go back and forth now for a bit between the shitas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So Bishlam el Rabbi Shmuel, I understand according to the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, again, who said that the Mishnah was talking about the various stages of Basar Taiva, whether it was Asur, Mutter, and then if it became Asur again, Hainu dechzei v'shachat as ben Abakar. That's why it says v'shachat as ben Abakar. Ella l'Rabbi Akiva, but that was talking about in the times of the Midbar, that when they would bring a korban, they would shecht. Ella l'Rabbi Akiva, my v'shachat, but according to Rabbi Akiva, if Basar Nechira was mutter, why is it telling me in the pasuk v'shachat, lav davka? Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Kachem shani. That pasuk is talking about when you're bringing a korban. Everybody agrees that when you bring a korban, you have to do shechita. What we're talking about is whether I could do nechira on an animal that's being consumed for private use. So the Gemara tries again. Bishlam al Rabbi Shmuel, I understand according to Rabbi Shmuel, Hainu dechsev atzon va bakar yishchot lahem, that the tzon and the bakar would be shechted. El al Rabbi Akiva, my hatzon va bakar yishchot lahem. But according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that nechira was mutter in the Midbar, why does it say in pasuk hatzon va bakar yishchot lahem yinacher lahem mibayilei? That it should have said yinacher. Yishchot is mashma that it was shechita dafka. But if nechira was mutter, let it say yinacher. Says the Gemara, yeah, nechira shelen zui shechita son. When it says shechita, it doesn't mean dafka shechita as opposed to nechira. It means the way of killing the animal and preparing it so that it's mutter to eat. Nowadays, that's with shechita, but their functional equivalent of shechita was nechira, because back then nechira was mutter. Bishlam al Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara tries again. I understand according to Rabbi Shmuel, Hainu Dutanan. That's why it says in the Mishnah, Shochet v'nis navla v'yado, that if a guy shechts and it becomes an avela, v'hanocher, and if a person does nechira, v'ma'aker, and if a person tears out the simonim instead of shechting them, pater milichasos, you're going to be pater from doing kisui hadam. Why? Because Rashi says the only time you're chayav and doing kisui hadam is when the blood comes from an animal that's mutter la'achila. So if you shecht an animal and the blood is on the floor, then there's a requirement to do kisui hadam because now the animal's mutter la'achila. But if I do nechira on an animal and the blood is on the floor, I'm not chayiv in kisei adam. Why? Why am I not chayiv in kisei adam? Because the animal is not fit to be eaten. But if nechira is mutter, why am I not chayiv in kisei adam? The animal should be fit to be eaten. So says the Gemara, Ella l'Rabbi Akiva, my pater milichasos. So says, but according to Rabbi Akiva, why am I pater from kisei adam? Says the Gemara, I don't understand what you're asking. Hol v'itzer itzer. We're learning this halacha in a Mishnah. The Mishnah is written after the Jews already left the Midbar. When was Nechira mutter? Nechira was mutter in the Midbar. Then they went into Eretz Yisrael, and Nechira became Aser. And we said, according to Rabbi Kiva, we had a Havamina that when the Jews were exiled and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nechira became Mutter again. And we said, no, that's what the Mishnah means when it says Liolam Shochten. So you can ask me, according to Rabbi Akiva, why in the Mishnah of Kisei Adam does it tell me that if I did Nechira, then it's like a Pasul or a Shechita because the animal is not fit to be eaten, and therefore it's Pater in Kisei Adam. Why is that the case according to Rabbi Akiva? Simple, because we're talking about Bizman Hazeh. And Bizman Hazeh, even Rabbi Akiva understands that Nechira is going to be Aser. Says the Gemara, Bishlam el Rabbi Akiva, I understand according to Rabbi Akiva, Diamar Basar Taiva Lewitzer Klal, who says that Basar Taiva was never Aser, Hainu Duchsev, Ach Kaasher Yechel Esatzvi Vesayal, Kain Tochlenu. Just like you eat the tzvi and the ayal, so too you should eat basar. So in other words, Rashi explains, this is Rashi in the second wide line, achshav tzvi va'ayal betuma, kein tochlenu labakar v'lotso mishetech lezu la'aretz. Now you're allowed to eat the tzvi and the ayal, the deer and so too, when you get into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be able to eat bakar, you're going to be able to eat cattle. Sha'afal pi shani matinan shchita l'chulin mishetech lezu la'aretz kekotchem shalachshav ain't tzrichem lechol b'taras hakodesh. Because even though you're going to be able to shecht and eat whenever you want when you get into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be able to eat it like chulin. You're not going to have to eat it like taras hakodesh. Ela ketviva ayol shel achshav. But elamai, you're allowed to eat it like the tzvi and the ayol that you eat now. Shatamei v'tor ochlem bekarecha. That the tamei and the tor eat the tzvi and the ayol together. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that Basar Taiva was never Usser, that's why in the Midbar they were eating the Tzvi and the Ayal, and then the Pasuk was telling them, just like you eat the Tzvi and the Ayal now, so too you eat Bakar when you get into Eretz Yisrael. Elil Rabbi Yishmael, but according to Rabbi Yishmael, Tzvi v'Ayal Gufe Miavishari, was it ever permitted to eat Basar Taiva? Was it ever permitted to eat the Tzvi and the Ayal when they were in the Midbar? I thought Rabbi Yishmael told me that Basar Taiva was Usser in the Midbar. So says the Gemara, we're going to qualify what we mean when we say that Basar Taiva was Usser. So says the Gemara, Ki Usser Rachmana Behema Dechazi Lakrava. Nah, first wide line, that when the Torah said that Basar Taiva was Usser, that was only Basar Taiva of a Behema, that it was fit to be brought as a Karban. Aval Chaya Lo Chazin Lakrava Lo Usser Rachmana. However, a chaya, like the behemoths, animals are divided into two categories. There's a behemoth, there's a chaya. Chayas are not fit to be brought as karbanos. Therefore, the chayas, which are not fit to be brought as karbanos, those were never usher. You were always allowed to eat basar taiva out of the chayas. The only time you weren't allowed to eat basar taiva was of the behemoths because they were otherwise fit to be brought as a karban. Boy, Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Yirmiyah now asks the question. Evare basar nechira, shechnisu Yisrael imayim la'aretz mahu. So according to Rabbi Akiva, nechira was mutter in the Midbar, then it became usur when they went into Eretz Yisrael. What happened if the Bnei Yisrael were carrying meat that they did nechira on in the Midbar, and then they brought the meat with them into Eretz Yisrael? So when they did the nechira, it was mutter. But now that they were in Eretz Yisrael, it's the new regime, nechira is usur, what's the halacha? Rashi says that this is all about drosh v'kabel schar, that this is all about, you were just trying to figure out, you know, sort of intellectually what happened. There is no practical nafkamina because my dahava hava, the Jews already were in the Midbar, they already went into Eretz Yisrael, basar nechira is now usar forever. There's no practical nafkamina to what happened here. It happens to be when we learned the Gemara 7.5 years ago, the rabbi pointed out that Rav Yirmiyah is the Amora who tends to ask these perplexing questions. He's also the one who asked, what happens if you have a bird that waddles and one foot is within the, I forget whatever, 20 amos, whatever it is, that one foot is within that tchum and the other foot is outside the tchum, what happens? So he likes sort of pushing the envelope and asking these halachas. But Rashi says it's certainly an inyan of drosh v'kabel schar. Others disagree and they say that drosh v'kabel schar only applies when there's an actual pasuk to darshan. Here there's no pasuk to darshan. You're asking me just conceptually, What's the halacha here? And therefore, other Rishonim explain that, or rather, Achronim explain that no, maybe there is a nafkamina. So in other words, there's no practical nafkamina to this exact question, but the question serves as a basis to guide me. And let's say the rabbis of a certain generation made a gzera on something. And I have that item, but I had it from before they made the gzera. Is it mutter because I had it from before they made the gzera? Or is it usser because now they've made the gzera? Okay, so whatever you think you're getting, whatever schar we're getting for learning about this, the question stands. According to Rabbi Akiva, Nechira was mutter in the Midbar. It's usser when they got to Eretz Yisrael. What happens if they transported meat that they did Nechira on in the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael? So says the Gemara, well, Amos, what period of history are we talking about? Three lines down in the wide lines. Ilema b'sha v'sheva shekivshu, if you're talking about in the 7 years that they were in the middle of conquering Eretz Yisrael, hashra dover tome ishtaruluhu, not only were they allowed to eat basar nechira, they were allowed to eat even non-kosher animals. Dechsev, because it says in the pasuk, habatim ubatim maleim kol tov, that the batim were filled with everything good. And what does that mean? The emir of Yirmei Be'arba, amarav, kislei dechaziri. That, in other words, that they were permitted to eat literally bacon. So if you're going to tell me that during the 7 years of Kivush Haaretz, there were no restrictions on what the Jewish people were allowed to eat, of course they were allowed to eat basar nechira. They were allowed to eat much worse than basar nechira. So basar nechira mi bai, ela la'achar mikan. So ela mai, we must be talking about the status of basar nechira after the Sheva Shekivshu. Vibas ema, or maybe liolam b'sheva shekivshu, maybe the question does hold in the 7 years that they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, but ki ishtarulu shalosh alav dechachavim, detu lo ishtaru. Maybe the only time they were able to eat these machalos asuros were from the booty that they took from the inhabitants of the land. But this question is about what happens with their own meat that they brought in. So maybe the bacon was only mutter when they took it from the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, from the previous inhabitants. But maybe if they had their own basar nechira, it would not be mutter. Teku, so we leave it as a kasha. Says the Gemara Vayter. So Amar Rabba, Shanisa Hakol Shochtin Uli Olan Shochtin. Okay, so now you've taught me what it means when we say Hakol Shochtin. That was Behema V'Oaf, remember? And Liolam Shochtin, meaning that you shecht throughout history, and we saw this Machlokas, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva, what that means. Bakol Shochtin Mai Mishanis Lei. The Mishnah also said Bakol Shochtin, that we shecht with everything. And how do we touch up that part of the Mishnah? So v'chi tema, and if you want to tell me that Bakol Shochtin, that you could shecht with everything, that's simple. Bein Bitsura means that you could shecht with a flint, Bein Bizchuchis, or with glass, Bein Bikroma Shalkana, or with a reed. But that can't be the interpretation of the Mishnah, because Dumya Dahanach Ktani, because the Bakol Shochtin has to be similar to Hakol Shochtin and Liolan Shochtin. I Hanoch B'Shochtin, Hainami B'Shochtin, V'Hanoch B'Nishchotin, Hainami B'Nishchotin. That the Mishnah should be interpreted in a symmetrical way. That if the Hakol Shochtin and the Laolam Shochtin refer to that which is being shechted, because Hakol Shochtin means Behema V'Oaf, Liolam Shochtin means the animal that's being shechted is always shechted forever throughout periods of history, then the Bakol Shochtin should also relate to that which is being shechted. If the Bakol Shochtin means that which you're shechting with, then also the Hakol Shochtin and the Yolam Shochtin should also refer to the thing that's doing the Shechita. So it has to be symmetrical. So Elamai Rava. So Elamai. So Rava says, Hakol Shochtin. So let's reinterpret the Mishnah. It's all talking about the things that are doing the Shechita. Hakol Shochtin, Chada Lasu Yekusi, V'chada Lasu Yisrael Mumer. Hakol Shochtin, everybody can shecht. That includes a Kuti, that includes a Yisrael Mumer. That we saw a couple of weeks ago. Liolam Shochtin, and you can always shecht, Bein B'Yom, Bein B'Laila, whether it's a day, whether it's a night, Bein B'Rosh Agag, Bein B'Rosh Asfina, whether it's in the Rosh Agag, whether it's in the Rosh Asfina. Again, the Chiddush here is that we're not afraid that you're shechting to the heavens or that you're shechting to the seas. So it means that you're allowed to shecht anywhere. And Bakol Shochtin, Bein Bitzar, Bein Zeschuches, Bein Bikroma Shalkana. So we reinterpret the Mishnah so that all of the parts of the Mishnah are talking about the thing that's doing the Shechita. everybody's kosher to do the shechita. You could do the shechita anywhere, no matter where you are, and you could shecht with anything. It's all talking about the thing doing the shechting. It's not talking about the thing that is being shechted. Okay, two dots, two lines up from the bottom. Chutz mi magal kotzer v'magira. So the Mishnah said that I'm allowed to shecht with anything except for a sickle or a saw. So Avua de Shmuel pogam v'shader. Pogam v'shader, that he would be pogam a knife, and then he would send it to Eretz Yisrael to be shecht at, to be checked out, and then it would be pogam the knife again, and would send it again to be checked out to see whether the knife was kosher for shechita, and he would do this. He would do this many times. Rashi said he would do it repeatedly to make sure that he understood exactly what type of pegima in the knife passels it, and what type of pegima in the knife leaves it as a kosher knife. So Sholchulei, so finally they sent him back from Eretz Yisrael. Oh, enough with you and your knives. It's dangerous for the postal carrier. Kamagira Shanu. We learned that it's like a saw, meaning Shepegimos Machavnos Loomkom Vyeshlipkam Shnei Uksin, Kishata Molech Sipornoch Mosef Asak in the Rosh Sipornecha, Chogeres Bukat Shotsara Rosh, Kishata Bodek Marosh La Sofa, Tiperkana Chogeres Bokat Shol Sofa. So in other words, the type of Pegima that's usser, says Rashi, and there's a good illustration in note 41 here in the art scroll on the side, but the type of pegima that's usser is like the tooth of a saw. So the tooth of a saw is symmetrical. It sort of goes up like this. And therefore, the result is, no matter which way you're dragging your finger on the knife, your finger is going to catch on the pegima. So that's what they explained to him. You could stop with all of your tests. If it's like this, if it's shaped like a triangle, it's bad. So Tana Rabbanan, so we learn as follows, turning over to Yedzayin Amabez. Sakin sheishba pegimas harbe, if a sakin has, if a knife has a lot of pegimos, tidon kamagira, it should be judged like a magira, that's like a saw, that's going to be bad. Vishaimba ela pegima achas, now what if it only has one pegima, what if it only has one nick in the knife? So ogeres posula, if it gathers the fingernail, like if you would slide your fingernail along the blade and it gathers it, then it's going to be puzzle. Misuchseches ksheira, if it just entangles the fingernail, then it's going to be kosher. The Gemara says, we're using English, obviously, but even if you're talking in Aramaic, these things sound very similar to each other, and I don't know what they mean. So, Echidami Yogeres, Echidami Mesuchseches. What does all this mean? Samar Rabbi Eliezer, Ogeres Mishtei Ruchos. Well, Ogeres means that it's a type of begima that we've been talking about. It's like the tooth of a saw, that it will gather the fingernail no matter which direction you're moving your finger. Mesuchseches Meruachechas. Mesuchseches is that the begima is only in one direction. And again, if you look in that illustration on the previous page of the art scroll, you'll see that it goes up in a sharp angle on one side, but then the other side, it's gradual. And the point is, because if you rub your nail along the gradual side, it's not going to get caught. So if it's two directional, then it's bad. If it's only in one direction, then it's okay. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't make sense. Maishna mishnei ruchos to murcha kama machlish umurcha basra baza. What's the problem if there are two pegimas, if it's in two directions? The problem is the first pegima, the first side of the nick, is going to weaken the skin of the animal, and it's going to weaken the place of the shechita. And then when the second, the pegima, comes along in the knife, it's going to rip the simonim instead of slicing the simonim. Miruach echanami. So also when there's only a pegima in one direction, churfa desakina machlish, the sharpness of the knife is going to weaken the skin around the base of shechita, and mursha baza, and the nick of the knife is going to rip the simonim. So either way, whether there's a nick in one direction or two directions, it's going to be a problem because you're going to tear the simonim instead of shecht the simonim. So says the Gemara, de akam aresha de sakina. Oh, no, we're talking about where the nick is at the tip of the knife. And therefore, when you get to that point, says Rashi, the skin has not yet been broken, and therefore there's no concern that the sharpness initially is going to break the skin, and then the pegima is going to do the tearing of the simanim instead of the slicing of the simanim, because the nick is all the way at the beginning of the knife. Says the Gemara, but sof, ki ozla machlisha. But says the Gemara, well, how do you shecht? You shecht with a slicing motion. So remember, what's in the beginning of the knife on the way on the one direction is going to be at the end of the knife on the other direction. And when you move the knife back, aren't we afraid that the nick is going to grab the simanim and it's going to tear them? So says the Gemara, no, I'm not concerned with that. Why? Because we're talking about a knife that's long enough that you were able to do the shechita in one motion. So you're only going like this, you're not bringing it back. And therefore, if the pegima is all the way at the tip of the knife, the pegima is not going to be in the animal's throat by the time you're up to the base hashchita. Therefore, we're not afraid that you're going to rip this simanim. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, says Rava like this, Gimel Midas Pesachin. There were three types of categories of knives. Ogeres Lo Yishchot, if it gathers the fingernail on the pegima, you're not allowed to shecht v'im shachat shechita sapsula, and it's pasul even b'diyeved. Misuch seches, if it only entangles the fingernail, lo yishchot, b'lechatchila, you shouldn't use the knife, v'im shachat shechita sokshera. But b'diyeved, it's going to be mutter. Ola v'yored, besakin, if you have a gradual notch, so instead of a notch like a saw, which is like at a hard angle, if it's more gradual, so it's not even pronounced enough to grab the fingernail, then shochet b'lechatchila. Then you're allowed to even shecht lechatchila. Samar le Ravuna, b'rei de Rav Nechemya le Ravashi, amrit la mishmei de Rava, but you told me in the name of Rava, misuch seches psula, that misuch seches is psula, v'ma Rava, misuch seches kshera. But now you're telling me that misuch seches is kshera. So which is it? Is it pasul or is it kosher? So lo kasha, so says the Gemara, not a kasha, kancha olech fe'evi, kancha olech below hevi, that one is talking about when you're molech and maybe, this is what we just saw a couple of lines earlier, and the other is talking about when you're molech and not maybe. Again, so misuch seches is that there's only a nick in one direction. So if you're able to shecht the animal with one motion, then we don't have to be afraid that the nick is going to tear the pipes. But if you're coming back with a knife, now we have to be afraid that the nick is going to tear the pipes, and then it's going to be a pasul l'shchita. So amar le Rav Acha, b'rei de Rav Avya le Rav Ashi, damya l'sasa, if it's a very bumpy blade, so then mahu, so what's the, samai, what's the alacha? So amar le, man yav mi bisrei v'achlinan. Ah, if somebody would give me meat that was shechted with a knife like this, I would eat it. Meaning it's totally mutter. The Rishonim debate whether, even though he said that he would eat it, whether a Yerei Shamayim should worry about a shechita with a bumpy knife if there are no actual nicks in the knife, but it's not a smooth blade. But whatever the case was, Rav Ashi said he would have no problem eating the meat. So I'm Rav Chista, says Rav Chista, minayin l'bdika sakim min haTorah. How do I know that I have to check the knife, and that's a din d'oraisa? Shenemar v'shechatatem bazeh, and this is by Shol, that you should shecht with this, meaning with this knife, get it checked out, v'achaltem, and then you should eat it. So pshita kivan d'chi nakav trefa by bedika. So it says the Gemara, wait, hang on a second. There's a halacha in the Torah that I'm not allowed to eat a trefa. A trefa is an animal that the pipes were ripped. So I have to do a shechita, which is a slicing motion. If I'm going to tear the pipes, it's going to aser the meat, it's going to passel the meat, la achila. So you're going to ask me, how do I know that I have to check the knife? Don't I have to check the knife to make sure that it's not going to be a trefa? Of course I have to check the knife. Says the Gemara, no, bedika l'chacham kamrinan. Obviously, the shochet has to check the knife. The question is, how do I know that there's an inyan of bedika of bedika l'chacham, that I should bring the knife to a chacham to be bodek? How do I know that halacha? V'yamar Rav Yochanan lo amru b'haro sakin l'chacham el b'mnei kvodo shel chacham. And Rabbi Yochanan says the only reason that they said to show the knife to the Chacham is because of the kavod of the Chacham. It was a big kavod that everybody would bring him the shechita knives to check out. So says the Gemara, Midrabanan, that's not a din d'oraisa. Ein hachinami, a treifa is a din d'oraisa. showing the knife to the chacham is not a din daraisa. Bikra esmachta bialmahu. And the kra is an esmachta bialma. That's only an esmachta. Okay, so b'marava badkile b'shimsha. In Eretz Yisrael, they would check the knife in the sun. So Rashi has two gersos, what it means in the sun. One gersa is that they would simply go to the sunlight and they would look at the blade very carefully under the direct sunlight to see if there were any pegimos. The second interpretation in Rashi is that they would go to a place where it was sunny, they would hold the knife up, and then instead of looking at the blade, they would look at the shadow that was cast by the sun, and they would see if in the shadow they were able to perceive any nicks or whether it was or whether it looked smooth. In Arda, they would be bodek it with water. They would pour water on the blade, and they would see if the beads of water would get caught in any small nicks in the blade. Rav Sheshes bodek leberesh lishna. Rav Sheshes would be very bold and adventurous, and he would check the knife with the tip of his tongue. He would run along the tip of his tongue and see if it caught on any nicks. Ravacha bar Yaakov bodek lebechot asara. He would check it with a hair. Bisura amri bisrachla bisra labatka. In Surah, they would say, they had a saying that you use the knife to shecht meat, therefore you have to check the knife with meat. In other words, that therefore you have to check either with the tip of your tongue or you have to check it on your finger. However, if you're going to use something else, then it's not going to be a valid bedika, says Rashi. Why? Because you might use some substance that's too hard, and if the substance is too hard, you're not going to be able to impact it, even if there's a pegima. Therefore, it's shechting meat. You have to check it with your own flesh. Amra Papa, Tzricha Bedika Abisra, it requires Bedika with flesh, Va'aturfa, and on a fingernail. And then the Gemara says, Va'tlasa Ruchta, also three directions. We'll see what that means. And what it means is the tip of the blade and the two sides of the blade. So Amrali Ravina Luravashi, Amrilan Rav Sama Bered de Rav Misharsha Mishimcha de Amritle Mishmei de Rava, that they told us in your name and you said in the name of Rava, Tzricha Bedika Abisra Va'aturfa Va'atlasa Ruchta, that it requires Bedika on Basar and on the fingernail and on three directions of the blade, the three sides of the blade. So he said, Abisra Va'aturfa Amri Va'atlasa Ruchta Lo Amri. Well, they got it 2/3 correct. I did say that it requires bedika on skin, on flesh, and also on a fingernail. I never said that it requires bedika on three directions. Ikud amri abisra vaturfa vatlasa ruchta amri, or others say, no, he got it entirely right, that I did say that it requires bedika on skin, on the flesh, and on a fingernail, and on the three directions of the blade. But amri mishmei de rava lo amri, but I never said this in the name of Rava. Ravina Rava acha bere de rava haviyasvi kame de ravashi. They were sitting before Rava. They brought a knife to Ravashi to check Labodka. Amarle la Ravacha Bere de Rava Bidka Aturfe Vabisra Vatlasa Ruchte. And so he said, oh, so what you should do if they brought you this knife to check is that you should check it on your flesh and on the fingernail and on three directions of the blade, three sides of the blade. Amarle Yasher Vichain Amar Rav Kahana. So he said, yes, Yasher, this is correct. And so Rav Kahana said. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that despite what it says in the Gemara that you should check it on your flesh, nowadays when they check a knife for pegimos, they don't check it on their flesh. And why? And the Aruch HaShulchan, who is a very practical rabbi, said, well, it's because you're going to cut yourself, so you don't want to be slicing the shochet's tongue if he's going to check it on his tongue or on his finger. So we have the minhag not to check it on the flesh, but this is the way they used to check the knife in the time of the Gemara. We'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll continue with the discussion of the way that they would check the knife, various other halachas relating to the shechita knife.